Our guest is Chris Weston, head of research at Pepperston Group. Chris, we'll get to the RBA and we'll get to oil in a few moments, but let's start off with the Fed. We can't really expect anything too definitive from policymakers. We've got a couple of CPI reports between now and the December meeting, and that seems to be the one that people are quite curious about. But I'll be interested to see if there are any comments on a couple of points. One, do they speak of some positive signs like lower housing prices and lower shipping prices? And two, do they hint that some time to assess would be prudent? Do you think we get either of those?
On the first point, I think that probably the way they would frame that would be that some of the interest rates sensitive sectors are showing signs of slowdown, and that's a positive sign. But then obviously that there's going to be a lot of nuance, and I think the whole statement is going to be covered with nuance, and conditionality and flexibility is going to be the two sort of ways I'm going to be looking at it. So while the interest rate sensitive sectors have obviously shown signs of slowdown, the offset will be that there's a lot of the sticky inflation, the core inflation is going to be persistently high. So I think that's the key factor within the message. But I think generally speaking with the Fed, I think that they'll welcome some signs. But I think at the same time, when we talk about the step down, which is obviously the key focal point, whether they sort of initiate a slower pace into the December meeting and the guidance around that. For me, it's about giving themselves maximum flexibility for that meeting, which means that like, 75 basis points could be on the table, 50 basis points could be on the table, but it really is going to be very much data dependent. So I think this is a Fed that still would rather have the US going into recession than have persistently high inflation. And that means that they have to have conditionality attached to this and flexibility.
Chris, I mean, that's all about their credibility, isn't it, ultimately? And the point is, how much pain are they prepared for the U.S. economy or indeed the global economy to sustain as a result of that?
Well, I think that they still sit in the glass half full camp, that if there was a recession, it's going to be very mild. We probably also need to believe that the midterms will hold some bearing towards this, in the sense that if the betting markets are indeed on the money, and we get the Republicans taking both chambers of Congress, and obviously we've got Biden in the White House, then going up until 2024, really there's going to be absolutely no fiscal support. Any new fiscal support is going to struggle to get through. It's going to be the heavy lifting is going to be done by the Federal Reserve, effectively. So we have to believe that slowdown will be managed well by them.
So there's a debate on the RBA, whether it'll go 25 or 50, but we know that the swaps imply only a 1 in 5 chance of an outsized move. Which way do you think they'll be moving?
I'm firmly in the 25 basis point camp. I mean, I still think that we have it. Reminiscence of the Anika Foundation, that speech that came from the 8th of September, which really started this whole sort of dovish shift that the market is now, firmly sort of critiquing, I guess.
Chris, I mean, we could talk about the interest rates and what the Fed and the RBA are likely to do here as well. But given what's going on market-wise, we're not getting much traction, are we? And, I suppose you've got to also be looking at what the earnings season's been telling you too, which, and that's my question. How is it informing you about the macro side of things?
Well, I think certainly big tech's been the big one there. I think, when we started off the earnings season, remember we had the banks telling us that things were okay, and we were getting some good insights, positive insights from the consumer. I think really when we get the Walmarts of this world and we start getting the big retailers, that's going to be something that could give us some good insights as well, because that's something we are watching, is obviously how now this is going to impact the consumer. And we're going to get ISM services this week, which will probably say a similar sort of picture. But generally, on the whole, it's still the big thematic continues to be trading peak rates. That's the dominant situation. I know we've got midterms, and that may have some small gyrations, very small gyrations. But generally, it's peak rates which continues to be the issue. So we're moving through the earnings season. I think it's going to be less of a factor now. I think on the whole, it's been a fairly neutral earnings season for the market.
Mm. I'm starting to hear more from traders about maybe playing the long side, and that revisiting the lows that we saw may not be as likely as continuing to grind ahead. When you look at things from that kind of 35,000 feet, what do you see?
I just, you know, as a trader, I just think keeping an open mind. I think you just go with the tape. Now, you can make an argument for us to revisit the lows. You know, things like quantitative tightening is still something that needs to be pushed in, especially we've just seen the refinancing situation, which means they're going to have to increase the TGA by $600 billion to $600 billion by including another $150 billion. So, yeah, I think that's an issue for the markets. But you can also say, you know, if we do see enough from the Federal Reserve, which I think I actually sit in a more sort of hawkish camp for this week. But you know, if they were to open the door a little bit, this market could rally, and you don't want to be left behind in that situation. So, I think the risks in this market, you can paint them either way. I think you just got to have an open mind and trade the price and trade the tape, because it's yeah. I think we just expect to be surprised. But I'd probably say there's probably more downside risk in the equity market here.
Just briefly, what's the tape giving you?
Well, at the moment we're rising, you know, at the moment we're rallying. We've sort of gone into the 100-day moving average, and the price it seems to be capped around 39.05 in S&P futures. But yeah, we're sort of feeling a bit of exhaustion, and we're sort of I think we're kind of stuck in this situation where we're probably at best going to consolidate, maybe with a slight downside bias here. But yeah, the market's been going up, and that has to be respected. But for now, I think we've probably run into a bit of resistance. A lot of short coverings come through. We're a much cleaner structure. I don't think anyone really wants to put any risk on ahead of the Fed meeting. We'll have to see what their guidance is for December.
Chris, what's the question that clients are most asking you at the moment at Pepperstone? And actually, what are the bets they make on markets overall too?
I think probably the dominant one right now is, you know, we've seen the dollar. It's all really about the US dollar. I think, you know, obviously the wrecking ball that is, everyone focused on that situation. And we continue to guide people to two crosses, one being dollar CNH, the China dollar China. That looks like it's making a tilt at new highs. If that does, break into those new highs, then I think the dollar more broadly across G10 will come on, will rally. And then obviously dollar yen, can we make a move back into intervention levels above 150? But generally speaking now, you know, with the terminal rate back above looking to test the 5% level, and also with real rates, 5-year real rates bouncing off 150 and looking like they might move higher, then I think the general consensus is from speculators that the US dollar has probably got a little bit further to go in the upside, and you know, it's a view that I firmly share.
Chris, always a pleasure. Thank you very much indeed. Chris Weston, the head of research at the Pepperstone Group, just getting his take on the market.